Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Faith on the Road to Success. I am your host, John C. Abercrombie. What we have been trying to emphasize recently is the need to be organized. Now, some people look at organization as a very, very difficult thing to do. And for some people, it is difficult. But what we have to learn is to develop the skills that we don't have, to rely on those skills that we have, and improve what we're doing. It's difficult. Although we come up through a succession of class levels when we're in public or private schools that take us from first grade through 12th grade, we are taking a step each time, a step that's higher and higher. But when we look at the individual steps, it's just a step rise increase in what we have been doing. We learn success in schools, and sometimes those translate directly into job opportunities, and sometimes they do not. One of the things that is a pet peeve of mine is going into a retail store and having people that don't realize the purpose for them being there is to provide a service, Now, most things we can be trained to do if we have an interest in doing them. There are some people that do not belong in retail. They don't belong there because the customer is not always first. The customer is not always right. And I understand the idea behind the concept, and that is that if you can make the customer right, that's what we attempt to do. But there are times when we have to give other information. We don't have it. I don't have knowledge of when it's going to be in. But sometimes that can be a false response. If there is any way that you can find out when it may be in, then that's what you need to do. You need to take that extra step because you are there for the purposes of a customer. Now, how does this affect you as a business owner or a team leader or a writer or some other occupation that you may be desiring to fulfill, a business that you intend to accomplish? One, you have to define what that business is. We've taken steps at doing this, and it's necessary sometime to look what we often shun, and that is writing it down, Now, for years, and I hate to admit how many, I've always thought that I had an infallible memory, that I could remember everything. When I got to the point where it was not a challenge to see whether I remembered or not, because it would be written down somewhere. And that needs to be organized as well so that you can succeed. We look at that as being backwards. It's something that we did in school. But understand what we're trying to do is to take those skills that we have developed during our life and translate them into practical knowledge. We have procedures that we go through. And if you find yourself having one or two or three or four that are particularly difficult, I suggest you write them down. Basically, develop a manual, if you will. Oh, I've done it before. I can always go back and do it. But let us look at what happens after we've had COVID or we've had some particular disease that taxes our memory. Sometimes we can get back in that cycle, and sometimes we can't. But why sweat it? Why go through the agony? Because it's not just a one-off. It's not just a this procedure thing, because that sets up a set of dominoes for everything else that you do. We want to make your life easier. We want you to work smarter, not necessarily harder. Although hard is not a bad word. Harder is not a bad word. But why do that if you don't have to? Now, as we go through this program, many of you are listening on your devices. In fact, most of you are listening on your devices. But if you have a question, comment, suggestion, call in 646-668-8217. That number again, area code 646, and the phone number itself, 668-17. While I am talking, offering advice, I want you to understand that we are part of a community of people that are struggling to find success in our each and own individual choice, on our each and own individual path, in our own individual model of what success is. And this is okay, because we see along in history and in other things that many people with different ideals, goals, objectives would often meet together, and it turns out to be a positive thing for all people involved. Because what we're doing is we're learning success principles. We're adapting those principles to what we do. We're adapting them to our own use. This is what sets us apart from others. Other people have brilliant ideas, but they don't do anything about them. They don't take action to make them real. And one of the things that we can do to make them real is to write them down. Excuse me. If we are running or operating a business, it is extremely important that we put down many of our procedures. Yeah, you can go back and you can do it, and you can do it on a daily basis. But what happens when you get to a point where it's time to do an audit? Now, let me tell you what an audit is. Somebody comes in and looks at the procedures or looks at your numbers and say, yep, look good, don't look good, whatever. If you have written them down, they can be of additional service not only to you, but to them. Now, one of the things that we look for in an audit is how can we make improvements? How can we make improvements? One is by allowing someone else to see what we're doing. If we talk about our philosophy in a certain place, a person can say, hey, I would do this instead of that, or this looks good, continue to do it. And that saves you a whole heap of trouble. A whole heap of trouble. I remember my mother, as she started the business, she's running a cafe. She is doing everything necessary to get that thing started in the beginning. She is getting orders for food, for supplies, for everything else. And that was keeping her very, very busy. But she had a habit that was not good. She eventually changed it, and I tell you, she ended up, they requested an audit. Why? I don't know. But sometimes you'll find interesting tidbits. This does not make it right, wrong, or indifferent. It's just something to be aware of. Many black people, black businesses particularly, may find themselves being audited more than some others. Everybody is subject to them. That doesn't mean that everybody won't be audited. But what happened is in this audit, she had a basket that she would keep receipts in. Organized? No. But she had the receipts. This is the important thing. And when that came up, I remember there were frightful nights, panic-filled nights, where she was trying to get everything organized. When you just throw receipts into a book, they don't organize themselves by themselves. And what she was doing was trying to straighten them out in chronological order and separate them finer and finer. Had she known this coming up, she would have had a much better system. In fact, she started relying on bookkeepers and others because she ended up going into a quarterly tax system. You may find that, and if you have never been exposed to it, it is difficult. Sometimes you find out about these by going through how-to books and other information that is critical to the operation of your business. If you are a writer, you may find that there are clubs, organizations, whatever, about writing. And they are oftentimes categorized. You may have a meeting of romance writers. You may have a meeting of sci-fi, science writers, factual, historical. There are many of these that we can find. And sometimes we find them by going to bookstores. Sometimes we can find them at the major bookstores, but sometimes we have to do a little bit better and find out those places where people go when they are really deep into books, because they have discussions. They have helpful hints. They have meet the author. They have those tools that are practical to you. Now, if you know about them ahead of time, many times you can fit them into your schedule. Notice that I said, if you know about them ahead of time. So you find out about them. If there's a list of upcoming events, get that list. Look at it. Put it on your schedule, whether your personal or business schedule. Now you're beginning to make progress. What you have to learn to do is think as a successful person would think. Think as a successful person would think. I go back. I recommend to you certain things such as the program Shark Tank, and it's not the only one out there. And don't look at that program as if every decision on that is perfect for everybody, because I've seen good ideas go down the tubes. And what we do, we can look at it as entertainment, but it's so much more than entertainment. If we watch small segments and try to find flaws, try to find positives out of what is being said, done, how it's being presented, because I've seen great ideas that people turn down the offer. But make sure that you begin to understand how offers are structured, because what you want to do is answer the question in your presentation, if at all possible. There may be some questions that you want to come up, and you need to work around it so that they do come up, if they come up in your favor. If they don't, then what are you going to do about it? preparation, many times, is the key to success. Many times is a key to success. I've seen people go into their presentation, and the thing is, this is a umpty-ump billion-dollar industry. So if I can just get just a little bit out of it, then I'd be doing wonderful. Yeah, we've heard that time and time and time again because we have not focused on our business and how we're going to do this. We have to be strategic. We also have to realize that personally, right now, we are experiencing a great number of people attempting to do the same thing that you're doing. There has to be some unique value to what you're doing. And value comes in a good product for the money. Doesn't have to be the best product on the market, because there is an allowance in the law of puffery. As you look at commercials, you'll see this used to its max, because people can say this is the best product in the world and know that it can do this, but maybe not necessarily that. They're not lying in their opinion. This is the best product, and it may be because it's cheaper than the other product. It may be that it's superior to the other product but costs more. We have to understand the parameters into which we are working and what we are doing. And so with that, it's a planning thing. It's a cat and mouse thing. Now, you may be working on something, working on an idea. If you are looking at a restaurant, where can you buy your goods, your services, or what have you? Sometime, particularly in the beginning, it may be a crapshoot. You may say, I need 3,000 hot dogs every week. You may find that the quality of one is superior to another. Maybe it's enough to make a difference. Is it enough difference to support the price that you have to charge for it? Or can you fall back and do something else? These are realistic problems that you have to take into consideration. You also have to take into consideration the fact that if there is an event going on, you may make profit hand over fist for this particular time. But understand, you have bills in the background that are running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, good week, bad week, good week, bad week. What do you charge for that? You have tables, you have chairs, you have lights, you have air conditioning, you have heat, you have water, you have equipment that has to be maintained. How much does this cost? Are you then covering your expenses? Can you cover it for a short period or a long period? I saw on television early this morning a construction project that's running near a restaurant, and that construction project is now running behind schedule. Their business is 25% off. They're able to structure and maintain, but they had planned on 25% increase. What has happened is that schedule has gotten off. This is what we sometimes don't realize as entrepreneurs, is that we have to see some in the future. If you had a clothing store, for example, what are the colors for winter going to be? Or maybe that's too short a time. What are they going to be in the spring? Well, spring isn't here. Well, when it gets close to spring, we'll start. No, that's not the right thing to do. You need to have some view into the future. I remember when muscle cars were a thing back in the 60s and 70s, and the fact that a man had a car that got 5 miles to the gallon. They did not see what was on the other side of that hump, because gas was 25 cents a gallon. Nobody worried about gas. But then some of the companies started looking at more efficient, fuel-efficient cars. They then had a jump on everybody else. Do you see what I'm saying? It may be that you have an option on hot dogs. Maybe you have a hot dog and maybe you have a vegan dog, because people are moving in that direction. How fast, how far? This is where your expertise comes into being. You may be able to do that. It may be that you ultimately change to an all-vegan restaurant. And there's a difference between vegan and vegetarian. Which side of this equation are you going to be on? Maybe you don't want to go down that path. Maybe you want to go down the path of something else. Because I remember in days gone by, some of the best fries that were ever produced were cooked in tallow. You wonder what tallow is. Tallow is beef fat. And it has been said that it is not healthy, but they produce great fries. Is there a way that you can do that? There are some tricks that are possible down. You may cook the potatoes on a, excuse me, lower temperature to start with. You cannot support the time and energy necessary to crank that batch up. You may have to have two fryers, one that you initially put them in, second that you put them in later. People tend to like crisp fries, tend to like. There may be things that change in the future, but there may be other things that you can do to set yourself apart. Maybe you do a pre-soak in something that that brings out a particular flavor. I've seen some cases that even batter their fries. But what is right for you? What is right for now? Can you make a difference by having a homemade or house dipping sauce? These are decisions that you have to make. If you are writing a book, you have the same type corollary. Excuse me. But you have to look at those individual things. Do they work for you? They may not work for you. When my mother started, her intent was to have a sit-down meal, meat and three. A meat, three vegetables. And she did that very well. But in order to support the struggling business, she had to realize and rely on the fact that many people were dropping in. They wanted short orders. They wanted sandwiches. They wanted something quick. They wanted something that they could have very quickly. Now, the meal, yeah, because it was oftentimes vegetables and things that were cooked ahead of time. You had to make sure you didn't cook too many or too few. And if you were on the short side, you had to make sure that you were ready for the next episode of whatever was coming out. But understand that when you start, in most cases, you are everything. You're the first line. You're that cook. You're the first line supervisor, and you still have the responsibilities of the president, which is to see further in advance. If there is on the market, or in the market, let's say, you're beginning to get notifications that the coffee crop is not going to be doing well. It's going to go up in price. Can you then use that to get coffee and freeze it? Will it freeze well? Are there other things that you can do to bridge that gap? Believe it or not, that may save your business. Excuse me. It may completely salvage your business. I've often thought about mechanics. We have some great mechanics, but they don't have the resources to be able to buy their own store, a storefront, because we look at what is necessary, what's needed to have that store. And it may be that you can have a mobile business where you have a truck outfitted with everything that you need. Or maybe, well, we'll come down to what is essential to operate your business now and what it entails. Maybe you want to specialize in brakes, and maybe you can do that from a truck. Maybe it's a box truck. Maybe you even pull that car into the box truck, fix them, leave them wherever a person is. And in that particular case, you may have a person that's working. You go to them and do the work and not have the overhead of a building. Now, understand, you're replacing that with a vehicle. Is that more economical? Can you do more with that? Many times what you can do is specialize. And I've seen people specialize in brands of automobiles that they repair. And that cuts down on inventory because you don't have to have parts for, you know, 15 different brands. Look at what makes you exclusive, what sets you apart. This is extremely important. You need to know where you can get your parts from or your supplies from. You also need to explore the possibilities of other resources. Because if you are running a chicken place and you run out of chicken, I mean, that's not a good thing to have happen. But if you know of other resources that may be tapped, and there may be times when you have to tap them. I've seen restaurants have rotated the menu by the day. One of the ones that I enjoy going to on Wednesday is one that serves liver on Wednesday. Most people don't like it. I do. I'm aware of that. They are aware of that, and they know that people come in that day for that, although they have a full assortment of options that are available. And it may be that during certain times of the year, you may want to call up some other things. I remember my mother being given 3 pumpkins. I think they all weighed over 100 pounds. And, boy, she came up with some ingenious ways of serving pumpkin because they helped her. They were seasonal, and I don't know that there was a cost to them, but it was great. So you have to look at things like that. Can you incorporate something maybe that you haven't tried before? Maybe you're looking at a different type business because we have many different types. Maybe what you're looking for is a hybrid type of doing something. We see that in many cases, there are many jobs coming up. There was an ad the other day, a new company is coming into the area and they're recycling plastics. And that is going to be a booming area. Fairly decent salaries and what have you. Is that something that you can work with Is there something that they are doing that you might be able to get a slice of that particular pie? We always need to be looking for, one, problems, two, solutions. Not necessarily in that order, although there is a natural order of things as we move along. Where do you fit into the picture? We have people that write books that don't know how to write a book. What they do is they have a story. They've developed it in their mind. They get a ghostwriter. A ghostwriter who says, I won't come up with the idea, but I'll come up with the book. You just tell me what you want, and I'll make it fit what you need. There are plenty of people out there doing that. Both of them are happy making a living doing just that. We have copywriters, and they are coming up with ideas. And as we look at our commercials, we listen to them on the radio, we read them in newspapers, magazines, that is a fantastic area as well. And that may support you doing something else. As I've indicated before, we used to look at fast food workers as not being able to do anything else. But sometimes it is an integral part of their life story. Most people at one time or another have worked at a fast food place. And that is great. Some people like it. They stay there. Other people are using it as a temporary measure. We've had doctors, lawyers, dentists, everybody else start working at one of these fast food places because it is an integral part of what they are going to do later. Don't poo-poo ideas just because of the reservations that you have in your mind. I had a friend that started one of these honey wagons, and that's what we used to call those that pump out septic tanks, pump out porta potties and what have you. It can be an excellent resource. It can be an excellent source of money because you found something that needs to be done and you found something that many people don't want to do. Boy, that is a winning combination there, if ever there has been. That formula, problem, something that needs to be done, something people don't like doing, and something that people will pay other people to do. That's a trifecta there, folks. As we look at where we are, we have to have faith. Faith that we can do this. If that's your ultimate goal, then that's fine as well, because I think anything that is fair, honest work is honorable. Fair, it's honorable. And most people don't want to come to the dinner table talking about the last septic tank they pumped out, but you don't have to talk about it. Now, maybe that's your ultimate goal, and maybe it allows you to do something else. Maybe it allows you to buy an old rundown house, a rundown building that you can fix or have fixed and turn a handsome profit. You may want to do that for a while before you let go of your original. You may want to keep them both. But this is how we diversify. This is how we move on to bigger and better things. Bigger and better things. It may be that you're driving for Uber or Lyft or some other operation. Don't put that down until you know whether you can or will or won't do it. It may be a critical step in what you're doing. You're an inventor. It's going to take some money to make a prototype. And Nobody may want to buy that prototype. Nobody may want to even use it. You may have to give away a few in order for the word to take root and grow. To take root and grow. We talk about the guy that did the GoPro, and for many years it was in front of you everywhere that you went. But do you realize that he financed that operation by selling seashells out of his van? Now, can you make that connection? Maybe you can make it, maybe other people can't. But what you have to do is you have to look. It's like crossing a stream. You're always looking for a place where you can step and not fall and bust your head open. That is sometimes the tricky part. And then sometimes if you do that, when you get up, you're a little bit sharper. You know a little bit more. You can see and recognize things. We look at Harriet Tubman. Harriet Tubman worked in much of the East. In fact, she freed over 750 slaves in South Carolina. And as she did this, she knew the swamp. She could read the swamps. She could take people through the swamps that other people had difficulty following. This was a particular skill. I have followed Harriet Tubman, and I found out some information the other day that absolutely thrilled me beyond belief, because I do a separate radio program, comes on Sunday, comes on at 4 o'clock Eastern Time, and we talk about people that have been hidden from history's view. We talk about people that have been hidden from history's view. And one of the people that caught my eye a long time ago was that of Nancy Monroe Gooch. Now, there's a family there that California said did not exist because there were supposedly no living heirs to her. They owned one of the finest homes in Coloma, which is in El Dorado County, which is in California, which is the site of Sutter's Mill. And they're doing a tremendous amount of research. And one of the things that jumped out as a surprise to me, because when we talk about Harriet Ross Tubman, we think of this small lady in the South who also worked in New York, finally established a home for the elderly in Auburn, New York. I believe her father's cabin was discovered in North Carolina, Mr. Ross. But as we start to connect dots, we see that Nancy Ross Monroe Gooch was a sister of Harriet Tubman. All of these people we would be excited to have as a part of our family. But I think we grow up and we have to develop a faith in ourselves that we can do it. Not the neighbor next door. Maybe the neighbor next door can do it. But that we also can do it because we were endowed with features given to us by God. But it is upon us to figure out those resources, to have that faith in him, to have that faith in ourselves. Now, the number that we gave you earlier, you can still use 646-668-17. I'm sure people have questions. Sometimes people are afraid or shy, excuse me, of calling in. Because I know not too long ago, I would have been afraid to even be on the air as I am now. Afraid of it because I hadn't done it before. Sometimes we don't know who to ask questions of. I'm not going to ask you to spend a ton of money. What I am doing at this point is trying to stimulate a discussion between myself and the audience. Sometimes you have something to share. Sometimes you get something that we have shared on air. All of those are good. All of those are good. Now, we're going to try to conclude this broadcast at least by 55 minutes after the hour. This allows the next host to come on, set up, and be ready to start, in this case, at 8 o'clock. What you may find as you're listening to this program is that you have an idea for a program. You have, and it doesn't have to be this, it doesn't have to be necessarily biblical, but we look at the idea, we look at what we can transfer to other people. The community that is us is not made by color, not made by gender, not made by any of these artificial means. It is that is within you. When I look at people, I see all of those things. But I try to look at three things: the heart, the mind, and the soul. The heart, the mind, and the soul. And if they meld and mesh together, we are one. I may be trying to make a better cookie, and you may be trying to make a better business, maybe trying to write a book, maybe trying to develop a business that you can get other people into, family, friends, others. All of these are complementary of each other. Because an idea goes out, it may hit each of us differently, but it may be they pels us forward. It may be that stroke that propels us forward. We have many ideas. George Washington Carver was a great one, because we look at him many times as nothing but an old itinerant peanut farmer wandering around planting peanuts, and that's all he did. That was the least of what he did, because he was a soils chemist, a soils scientist. He knew how to determine the nutrients that were in soils. He knew how to determine what was in there and what was necessary. As a young person, because he was frail, he had the opportunity to study plants like most people did not. He was known as a plant doctor as a kid. But most of his work took place in the laboratory. His best work was not done with the peanut. But we don't know that because we don't know the story. Sometimes if you get an opportunity to read the full story of him, you'll see things that you absolutely did not know. He was stolen as a child. Kidnapped, maybe a more appropriate word. But I believe his mother, his brother, and he were stolen. The owner paid somebody to look for them, because Carver, George Washington, was sickly. He was abandoned on side of the road, abandoned. They brought him back and basically raised him as much as they could, as if he were one of their children. I say as much as they could, because George Washington Carver was black, they were white. And in America, in some situations, that just did not fit. I guess people had fit over it, but that was a different thing. You couldn't just take a child and put him in the best school in the area, particularly if he had dark skin. But we find that he persisted. One of his greatest attributes is that he persisted. We see this come up time and time again. I believe it's Einstein that said, basically, success was 1% inspiration, 99% perspiration. As we are working, sometimes the greatest need we need that we have is somebody that gives us that reason to persist. This is why early on in the game, we wrote down why we wanted to do this business. Why? Is it so that you don't have the stress of being fired day in, day out, week in, week out, of the economy affecting your job? Perfectly good reason to look for something else. One of the things that we have now that has been with us all along is the ability to do two jobs at one time. We have people that have worked their behinds off and have nothing to show for it. And they have nothing to show for it because they couldn't take their wages and buy land. Sometimes the law prevented them from doing that. During slavery, we didn't get money for anything, and we didn't have any time to do anything else. Let me give you an interesting point here to think over. There is a difference between hemp and marijuana. Hemp and marijuana. And in those days, hemp had lots of uses. The stem of it is thick, and so what would happen is sometimes slaves were able to make some money by breaking the stems of marijuana. Sometimes they received a penny a pound. It was hard work, but they continued to work on this. They saved their money. So being frugal many times is a big advantage. It's a big advantage. And many were able to find freedom simply by doing that. It is something that was used in sailing a lot because we made rope, we made sails, we made many things out of that fiber. We're now starting to make sheets out of bamboo and other things that we sometimes have a difficulty in understanding. But your job is to see the problem, figure it out. Many times members of that family can be used to extract toxins out of the soil. You hear me? There are many uses of many of the things that we sometimes overlook. Many times overlook. Your job as you proceed on is to do that. Now, we've talked about a major problem. We haven't talked about it very much tonight. But we look at the disruption to our schedule and the ability of us to wander off track. To wander off track. We have a beautiful idea. We're making progress. Sometimes we don't see it. And sometimes that's because we have not written anything down. We don't know what we've done. We don't know what we're doing. We don't know what needs to be done. We're lost. And so we try to keep as much track of that as possible. And we do that by writing. Simple, but it's very effective, extremely effective. And we have to realize that. Now, we're coming to the close of our program, or very much so. We've got about 5 minutes, and I want you to have that number again. It's 646-668-8217. I want you to write that down. I want you to save it because it can be used on this program as well as the Sunday program. Because if you're listening on your device, I cannot see you on my dashboard. I cannot make that connection where we can talk back and forth as we would on a phone unless you call in. And that's the number that you would call in on. Some host encourage it, some don't. I encourage it because I want the community as a whole to learn, to feel a degree of honesty in what we are putting out. I'm not the see-all, know-all, be-all that can happen because I'm learning as we all are learning. I happen to be the host of the program, but I want you to understand that it's not my program, it's our program, our program. You have those questions, and I have seen time when my biggest fear was that somebody may think that I was dumb because of the question that I asked. I understand that anxiety that we have. I understand the difficulty it is in making such a call. But I think we can all learn from that. The program you're listening to is Faith on the Road to Success. Faith in yourself, faith in your creator. Created a person, placed on this earth for a purpose that you have, but you have to understand you were placed here to go through the dangers, although and sometimes they're only to our pride, of what is taking place. I have that faith in you. That's why I come here every week. I want you to feel comfortable here. I want you to feel that this is your program as well. With that, since I do not see any people on my dashboard, I'm going to conclude the program. The next program, I believe, will be 8 o'clock with Deacon Armstrong. If you have an idea for a program, contact us because we serve people. We are a small group that has decided to serve people. And with that, I want you to understand. I want you to come back. I want you to share the link. I want you to invite people to join us. The name of the program is Faith on the Road to Success. And I am your host, John C. Abercrombie. I also invite you to join us on Sunday at 4 for Did You Know? Where we look into that part of history that has been largely undisclosed, but which can motivate people of all races, all genders, all everything. Join us. We come to you with sincerity. We come to you with purpose. Remember, 646-668-8217. I am your host, John C. Abercrombie, and I want you to all be blessed. I appreciate all who are listening and want you to share this. Until next week, we'll see you again, or Sunday, hopefully, we will join again. And I want to let you know that I wish that you will be blessed, my friends, be blessed, and hope that you have learned and feel comfortable in calling in. Have a blessed week.